Good morning, everybody. Could we turn the lights on here in the back on the stage, please? Thank you. Well, we've got an awful lot of our friends and family traveling. I just ask right now, before we even get started, if you just pray with me for all of our friends and all of our family that are somewhere this weekend enjoying themselves, probably at the beach, cookouts, families. But right now, chances are each and every one of us know at least some who are on the road or who are away from home. And I just ask you to join me in a prayer right now to ask God's protection on all of our friends and family. Lord, I just come to you now and I do pray this hedge of protection around all of our loved ones. Lord, even the ones we don't know that are on the highways this weekend. So many people are in transit. We just pray that there is a time of blessing and refreshing wherever they are. And Lord, while they're coming and going, please just keep them safe and bring them back home to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. Those of you that called the bridge home, last week you got to meet a very special friend of mine, a mentor, Dr. David Orr, our parent church pastor. And I pray that you were blessed and blessed in a mighty way. I know that when I was at their church, I was blessed. It was a wonderful experience. I hope that you enjoyed the swapping of pulpits with Pastor Orr. It's something that we'll probably try to do at least once a year. So anyway, I hope that you were blessed. At the same time, we took a little bit of a reprieve. Those of you that call the bridge home know that we had just finished a series that we had entitled Mission Impossible. And we took a look at the book of Acts. We took kind of a survey of the book of Acts to see about the birth of Christianity and the birth of the church. And in so doing, as we finished, I explained to everybody that really what we saw was the understanding and the spreading of God's grace over all the planet. We took a look at how God said, first of all, you the people, you will be my witnesses. I will build a kingdom here on earth in the hearts of men and women. And it won't come through military or political might. It will come through the sharing and the spreading of my good news, this gift of grace, through all of you. As you've come in contact with me and developed a relationship with me, I want you to take that and spread it all over the world. And we did exactly that. We saw that through the book of Acts. Well, in there, one of the primary messages that we focused on, because that's what was focused on in their day, was this understanding that the gift of grace is exactly that. It's a gift. It was not something that could be earned or worked towards, that nobody could ever become good enough. Major driving thrust of the book of Acts. Well, this morning, I've entitled our message, Total Truth. Because you know what? When you come to the bridge, you're going to get all of God's truth. You're going to understand it from all sides. And consequently, after spending 6 weeks really driving home the point of understanding the gift of grace, this morning I want to take you through a passage that will help you to understand the other side of that gift. That you know what? There are people on this planet, there are people in churches that would claim to be Christian that would tell you that everybody goes to heaven. Technically, we call them the universalists. There are others that would tell you, you know what, God is love, and therefore don't worry about the details. You know what, this idea of an all-loving God covers everything. Don't sweat what his word says. All you've got to do is know that there is a power, a God, and that all roads lead to him, and don't sweat it. Well, I want you to know that while we spent 6 weeks through the book of Acts seeing the reality of the gift of grace, that it's also important, and God's word speaks directly to the reality of grace that says, you know what? Not everybody is going to end up in heaven. And there are prerequisites. God's word is very straightforward. It is not a politically correct book. And this morning, my intention is to walk us through some of that. And we're going to do it in a way that I'll explain in just a minute. But at this point, I almost feel like I need to apologize. Because you see, it was originally my intent to walk us through this and talk a lot about that. But I feel absolutely compelled. I've got to tell you some troubling news. There are 5 registered sex offenders living on Kent Island. There are 5 known predators living on Kent Island. If you go to the state government's website and you look up sex offenders, you will see we have 5. We have 5. We have one that lives up near Love Point, north of Route 50. We have one in the community that lives on Main Street in Stevensville, right along paralleling Route 50. We have another person who lives about two-thirds of the way down Route 8 in Stevensville. And we have two more that live in Chester. We have five registered sex offenders, child predators for the most part, that live on this island. And you need to know that. And I feel, while I came intending to talk to you more about the other side of grace, I feel absolutely compelled. I've got to break in here and I've got to tell you this, because you know what? This is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. If you have children, the hair on the back of your neck is probably standing up. And if it isn't, it should. This is a matter of life and death in many cases. You need to know the reality that they are in our midst. You need to know where they are. You need to watch your children so closely. The reality of such a horrific truth. The reality of there is a proven track record that these people will devour and destroy our children. You need to know that. You need to know it, and you need to be made aware. You need to be sensitive to it. You need to be on guard. You need to always be ready. Because you know what? These people will not come in a convict's clothing and say, "Excuse me, I am a registered sex offender, and I am here to take the innocence from your child. I am here to destroy you." They won't come up to your children and say, "Hi, I'm the bad guy your parents are always telling you about. Would you come with me?" They won't come that way. They will come with lollipops. They will come talking about a puppy. They will come looking like the sweet, nice little uncle or grandfather that they know. They'll talk about, "Oh, we're really good friends with your family. Your mom sent me. I'm here to pick you up." They won't come looking like the lions that they are, the wolves that they are. They will come looking like, sounding like, acting like good people. The ones that you trust. Sincere people. All the while, they will devastate and destroy your loved ones on purpose. You need to know that. Now, what in the world just happened? I came to church. What is this? In your bulletins, I want you to read verses 3, 4, and 5 of the book of Jude with me. It's in your bulletin, and I want to read it to you, because what I just did was I approached you the same way that Jude approached the early believers in the early church. We're going to take a look at the book of Jude. We're going to do an overview of the book this morning, which is a one chapter, 25 verse book. But I promise you, I'm going to come back to this in the future, and we're going to do a series on the book of Jude. Listen carefully, thinking of what I just said to you. Listen carefully to verses 3, 4, and 5 of the book of Jude. God's word says this: "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share," hey, I came here with an intention to talk to you about one thing. "Although that was my intention," hear this, "I felt I had to write and urge you." I felt I had to. This is so pressing an issue that while I was going to write to you about heaven, I was going to write to you about the gift of grace. This is such a pressing issue, I felt I had to break in and change the direction that I was going. I've made an intentional turn because this is so important, you absolutely have to hear it. He goes on and he says this: "I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith." Contend for the faith. Fight for truth. Don't let deception. Don't let the guy with the lollipop take your children. Don't let the guy that looks like a good guy steal your loved ones away. Contend for the faith. Contend for the truth that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our sovereign and Lord. Friends, the purpose for the book of Jude was to come and to say, hang on, watch out. There's a battle cry here. You've got to be the ones that stand up and fight for the truth, because there are wolves that have slipped in among you. Much like a child predator would walk through the schoolyard, just like the child predator that would walk through the park looking like a nice, innocent person, saying all the right things, looking the right way, but all the while having a very real and threatening intention. And that is to steal, devour, and to destroy your loved ones. Jude tells us that there are people in the Christian community, people in the religious community, who would come and say to you, oh, yeah, I'm with you. Hey, I'm big on spirituality. My faith is very important to me too. Hey, I'll tell you what you need to do. Don't get caught up in the details. If there is a true living and loving God, all he really cares about is that you're sincere. There are people that are going around spreading this kind of garbage, saying, you know, 90% Jesus, 10% this other stuff. So long as the majority of what you believe is good, don't worry about it. God doesn't sweat the details. Jude says, watch out. I was going to write to you about grace and salvation, but so pressing is this issue, I felt I had to come in and I had to warn you. I had to ask you, urge you, please contend for the faith. Somebody's got to stand up and say that's wrong. That's a lie. That's from the pit of hell. Somebody's got to go into that playground and say, you know what? The guy with the lollipop, he's a predator. Get him out of here. Watch your children. Now, it's not politically correct. Not very friendly. Sounds a little narrow-minded. Hear me, friends. We're to hate the lie and love the liar. I'm not telling you to turn your back or your heart. I'm telling you to open your eyes. Open the eyes of your heart so that you can decipher between truth and lies. That's why I look at Jude and I consider him, I call it Jude, the defender of the faith. An awful lot of the Bible is spent telling us how to understand that we're not good enough and we can't earn our way to heaven. But the other side of that truth is this. This gift of grace, it cannot be taken for granted. It is not for anybody who takes breath. It's for those who say, I believe and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I turn over the keys of my life and he's now going to drive. I believe it not from my mouth alone, not from my head alone, but down to the very core of my being. That is truth. That is what I live by. And with that alone, I can receive the gift of grace by faith. Jude tells us, you know what? He goes on, he says, I need to remind you of something. He says, God doesn't mess around. As you work your way through this little book, these 25 verses, Jude moves on and he says, not only is this my purpose for writing, you see, it's got basically a 5-point outline. He starts with a beautiful, beautiful greeting. And when we do the series, we'll take a look at that greeting. Then he goes to where I just looked at. This is why I'm writing you. The third point he does is he says, watch out for those false teachers. He says, watch out, and he says this, two parts to watching out. One, because God doesn't mess around. And if you think I'm kidding, take a look at your Bible. He's saying, think back to when his children came out of Egypt. He saved them out of Egypt, and then he put them in the desert for 40 years because they didn't get it. He said, God doesn't mess around. He's not a sugar stick grandpa that just comes with a bag of goodies and says, here you go, what would you like next? He says, I love you, and I will save you from an eternity in hell by sacrificing my son. But you know what? You've got to believe, and you've got to receive me as Lord and Savior. It's absolutely free, but it will cost you everything you have. And if you'll say, yes, Lord, you're covered. Say anything but yes, Lord. Say maybe. Say most of the time. Say, well, I'm kind of thinking about it. And he says, you know what? I don't mess around. Jude goes on and he references Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, here's some folks that decided they were going to do it their way. Here are the folks that were going to live in the immorality. Here are the ones that were going to throw their hands up at me and say, yeah, right. There's no living God. There's no hands-on God in this creation. And Jude says, look at what happened there. Literally, fire and brimstone. Jude says, God doesn't mess around. You better watch out. Then he transitions and he now begins to describe these false teachers. He describes the wolves that he's telling them to watch out for. And I say this in verses 8 through 16. Jude's not exactly politically correct. Why? Jude says, you know what? He goes on and he describes these guys, and we'll take a real close look at this when we go into the series. He says, those wolves that I'm telling you about, they're like shepherds who only feed themselves. You know, a shepherd's supposed to take care of the flock, supposed to lay down their life for the flock, for the safety of the flock. They live to take care of the flock. He says, you know what? These shepherds I'm telling you about, they just feed themselves. Totally self-centered. He says, they're like clouds without rain. They look the part, but there's nothing in there that will nourish or provide or help. Very, very strong language. He's basically coming out and he's putting his finger right in the chest of these liars, these false teachers. Technically, they're called libertines, or some would say that they were the early comers of the Gnostics. These were people back in Jude's day who said, you know what? Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, I'm with you. And you know what? Here's the good news. Since you got Jesus in your pocket, you can throw all the rules and all the regulations and all the standards of Christian living out the window. You got Jesus. So do whatever you want. Go live in the midst of the most vulgar immorality. Doesn't matter. See, they took the grace, but they left the truth out. They took the grace and they perverted it. These others, these Gnostics, they would say, well, you know what? You have a special knowledge. You have a special understanding. So you don't have to worry about all the rules and guidelines that others live by. All these standards that Jesus set, forget about it. You know, forget about it. You're all set. And Judah's saying, watch out. Watch out. You know what? This is an interesting book because where so many other warnings we read about in Scripture say, you know what? When the persecution comes, hold firm. Stand your ground. Don't buckle under pain. God will get you through. Jude comes and he says from the other side, hey, when everybody's telling you, yeah, I'm with you, let's throw a party. Let's just get crazy. Come on, we've got license to do whatever we want. Jude's here kind of reeling those people back in, saying, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't get it. You're really missing the point here. Accepting Christ as Lord and Savior doesn't give you the keys to immorality. It opens up your heart. It brings to you eternal life. But understand this, you have a responsibility. As somebody who has received the gift of a sacrificed son on the cross, you don't wipe your feet on that in immorality. You sacrifice yourself and you pour yourself out to others so that they will know this as well. So verses 8 through 16, where Jude goes on, he calls these people all kinds of names. Ultimately saying, you know what? They do what they want to do. They're these intellectuals. They think they know. So they're going to totally disregard what God says and what his word tells us because they're smarter than that. Jude's not politically correct. And I ask you why. Why isn't he politically correct? Well, before I answer that, I want to show you something. I want you to take a look at this, and then I'll come back and I'll answer why Jude wasn't politically correct. Take a look.
I think that there is one God, and I think that there's just many ways to get to him. Many ways to get to him. Many ways to get to him.
Do you think there is one specific religion that is right, or are all religions good?
All religions good.
All religions are right.
Yeah, I don't think one specific one's.
Do you believe that there is one true religion, or are all of them true?
I would say that there is not one true religion, but I don't know if all of them are true.
So I think it's really arrogant to say that, like, my religion is the right religion and everybody else is wrong, because how do you know yours is right? You could be, like, that's just what your parents taught you and how you were raised. How do you know that your neighbor doesn't have the right religion or whatever and that yours is wrong?
I think all religions are trying to get at the same thing, the answers that every culture is looking for and for higher meaning, but I don't think there's one right religion. No.
I think they're all good. I don't think there should be a set one, because everybody has, you know, every religion has their, you know, ups and downs and their own little different things that people can relate to, and some have some that people want and others don't.
I don't believe one religion is more equal than another. I believe that religion was created by man to help understand the being that's greater than itself, whether that be something that had created man or whether it been something that was just guiding man. It's something that man has created in an effort to understand it.
Well, I'm like non-denominational, which is kind of like Christian, but we read the Book of Mormon, and my best friend is Jewish, so like, how would it be right of me to say, well, since you guys don't believe, like, Jesus died for our sins, that makes you a bad person? I mean, she's my best friend. I think as long as you're a good person and you contribute to life and everything, then whatever's supposed to happen in the afterworld, you'll get.
At the base of every religion is being a good person. And I think how it's interpreted by different groups is what changes.
Do you believe that there is one specific religion that is true, or do you believe that all of them are true?
I believe as long as they believe in the Lord, then all of them are right. But as far as one religion higher than the other one, if there's different gods, I don't believe in that.
Okay. What do you mean by the Lord?
Jesus Christ. God.
Half of my friends are Muslim. I'm Christian. They love to be around me because we can intellectually get into any conversation. I think that God, and I was reading a scripture last night, but I think that God communicates to people in the various religions. And I think that if you were brought up or raised and you believe in a certain religion, then yeah, you should follow that route to God. But I think that there is one God, and I think that there's just many ways to get to Him. Many ways to get to Him. Many ways to get to Him.
Why isn't the Bible politically correct? Why isn't Jude politically correct in verses 8 through 16? Because there are people like that all around us. Because when you're politically correct, you know what you end up with? You end up with this. You end up with people lost and confused. Literally dazed and confused. Do you hear the young girl? Yeah, I kind of go to like this non-denominational church, kind of like Christian, and we read the Book of Mormon. No, you're a Mormon. You're being led down a road that's going to take you to the pit of hell. You're being told that there was somebody that came after Jesus that edited what he said. The Bible isn't politically correct because Jesus loved us too much to leave us in a state of confusion. When you see people like that, and understand this, those people, 90%+ of our community hold to that type of thought process. Their theology, their belief system, their eternity is tied up in that same mindset. I've done the demographics. Over 90% of our community fits right in that video. Well, hear me, friends. Hear me right now. I pray to God that you feel the same way when you see that as you would walking through the park and seeing the child being taken by the predator. When you see the guy with the lollipop going up to that little child. You need to have the same feeling when you see somebody leading these people down a road to hell. That's why we're here. This community is over 90% lost and confused. They believe that there's one higher power and all roads lead to the same pinnacle. Oh, that the train has many cars on it, but it's pulled by one engine. It's garbage. And just like you would be repulsed if you saw that child being taken by the predator in the park, I dare say that every person in here would do all that you had in you to stop what you knew was going to happen. And rightfully so. What are you doing for these children? How do you feel about these kids who aren't being taken to a dark room? They're being taken to hell by people that look like us, act like us, sound like us, seem very well intentioned. Oh, see, I knew that bridge. They talk about being contemporary and out of the box. I knew that Baptist was going to come out of them eventually. This is biblical, okay? This is not Baptist. This is biblical. And if you're going to love people with the love of Christ, you're going to stop that mess. Just like you would stop the predator who was going to steal your child's innocence. The hair needs to go up on the back of our neck. Every time you see that Jehovah's Witness. Every time you see that Mormon. Every time you see, we got a group, their ad is right next to ours in the paper. The Baha'i Faith. These people will tell you, bring whatever you've got, it's all good. We love you Christians. We love you Muslims. We love you Hindu. And you know what? Guess what? You come here, we'll tell you all your roads lead to the same nirvana. Oh, it's beautiful. If you don't care where people are going to spend their eternity, it's no different. I would say to you, it's worse than not caring about that child predator, stealing that child and taking them away. Because you know what? If that child predator gets what he wants and hurts and destroys that child, as horrible as that is, if that child accepts Christ, they will spend eternity in heaven. These people will be happy for about 100 years. And somebody will have sold them a bill of goods that says, you know what? That 100 years, man, that's everything. And you know what? If there is another side, don't sweat it. Because what I'm selling you is going to work. You'll get to where you want to go. No. No, we need to see that ambiguity, that lostness, that, you know what, I think you're a little narrow-minded. Hey, who's to say that your truth is ultimate truth? God said so, and he proved it when he came out of the grave. Everything that he did and said is true. You either accept it and receive the gift, you don't earn it, but you do have to receive it. You do have to come and say at the foot of the cross, thank you. I believe and I receive you as Lord and Savior. Everything from here on out is your way for your purpose. Jude goes on and he tells us in verses 17 through 23. He tells us exactly how to do this. He gives us 3 points. And he again comes back and I'm telling you, God doesn't mess around. First thing Jude says is, don't act surprised. Don't act like this is taking you off guard. You know, don't sit there in the Leave It to Beaver neighborhood and say, well, you know, I had no idea that was going on. He says, don't you dare act surprised. God told you back in the early days, in the Old Testament, you saw it. The prophets warned about it. For us, we had it in the Old Testament, we have it in the New Testament. God's word says, don't you act surprised. Don't you, oh my goodness, who'd have thought? Every believer needs to think. And just like you wouldn't say, oh my, you know, I'm going to be a little late for work. Well, how much damage can that predator do to that kid anyway? You wouldn't think of doing that. Let us not think of doing the same thing as we walk by those that are being led astray. Jude then goes on and he says, build up your holy faith. He says, you know what? Do all that you can to empower and lift up your faith. Grow in the Word. Read your Bible. Pray. Get closer to God. Go to a Bible teaching, Bible standing church and learn to draw closer to me. Receive more and more of this gift of grace that I have. And then he tells us this. Live your life. Don't run to a cave and hide. Yes, there are 5 child predators that live on Kent Island, and they're pretty well dispersed all over the island. That doesn't mean that you move away. It means that you keep your eyes open. It means that you understand what the reality is of where you live. And then he tells us to go out and make a difference. Don't run away. Run into the darkness and bring your light. He says, live out my truth in love. You don't go and picket those people. You don't go terrorize those people. You go love on them and you bring Jesus into their life. Because you know what? You're not going to debate them into a position of faith. And you ought not just drive them out. If you've done that, now you've left God's love and truth. You may say, I love God, but you stop loving people. Well, I don't have to love those people. Yes, we do. We need to love all the people. We did a whole series on love in the name of Christ, Love Inc., built on this understanding of agape love, loving even the unlovely. Okay, so this is not to go out and attack these people. It's to love on them with an understanding of the reality we live in. I'm going to show you another video here. I want you to listen very, very carefully to the lyrics. This is a song written by Nine Inch Nails. Those of you that know that band know that you don't hear a lot of Nine Inch Nails in church anymore. Okay? It's a scary band. It's a song done by Johnny Cash. And I believe not only does it parallel the issue, but I think it parallels his life. He did this video shortly before he died. In it, I want you to understand a couple of things. You're going to see opulent living in the midst of everything. At the end of his life, he realized he had nothing. Every person that you know that does not have Christ, even if it looks like they have everything, they have nothing. And it's a horribly horrific and scary thought to come into your eternity realizing that you have nothing but the abyss and fire and flames awaiting you. Even if they don't realize it themselves, as believers, you know that's what's coming. Let us care enough to go turn their story around. Take a look at this song.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt.
You stay the hell away from me, you hear?
I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else, I am still right here. What have I become? my sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself. I would find a way.
You can have it all. My empire of dirt. If you know people and they don't have Christ in their life, I don't care if they look sad or glad. I don't care if they're looking for two nickels to rub together, if they've got a couple of Beamers in the driveway and a yacht out of the water. They've got nothing. Nothing. At best, an empire of dirt. Jude tells us, watch out for those predators. Be alert. Know that they're out there lurking. And as for you, be advised. You know they're there. You've been forewarned. Build up your faith. Draw closer to the Lord. Pray. And then live out this truth in love. Don't run from the darkness. Run into it. Listen to how he comes in for a close in verse 22 and 23. Jude, I love this. In my Bible, if you could see it, it says life verse right here. Listen to this. Jude says, be merciful to those who doubt. You don't go beating these people up. You don't get nasty to the people that say, I just don't know about all that stuff. You love on them. Because you know what? Every one of us, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, we all started on a journey. And everybody has a starting point. So don't you dare get pompous or high and mighty if somebody doesn't believe yet. Or if somebody is ungrounded and uncertain. God's word through Jude tells us, be merciful to those who doubt. That's verse 22. That's the whole verse. Be merciful to those who doubt. What an anthem for God's children. And then verse 23, one of my life verses. Snatch others from the fire and save them. Snatch others from the fire and save them. That's why we're here, friends. I want you to have a place to go to church on Sunday. I want you to have a family of believers that will help you grow, that will help you to grow in your faith. But understand, God loves people. His church is the people. The church is the people. We are here to help one another grow so that together we can go and share this good news. That we could stop the predators. You see, there are some. There are the atheists. There are the folks that would go and say it's all a bunch of garbage. Those are the obvious enemies of the faith. But Jude would have you know, why is Pastor Jeff always so anal about being biblical? Why does he say, I don't really care what they say. This is our guide. We stand on this and this alone. And you know what? We don't take it from the surface. We take it to its core. You don't pull verses out of context and make them say what you want. It means what the author intended it to mean. And until you get to the core of its truth, you don't have license to wield it as some kind of powerful tool that allows you to do what you want to do. I'm not going to name names, but you don't have to look very far. There are alleged Christian communities that have divorced themselves from God's truth or have at least given themselves license to serve as editors. That's who Jude is telling you to watch out for. And you know what? It might not be politically correct, but what I just read to you this morning and what Jude would have you know is not politically correct. It's truth. And it's truth in love. We don't go around beating our chests as the holy, pompous crowd. We go around on our knees praying for those people who have been deceived. And we extend to them with open hands God's gift of grace and love. There's a tension there. There is a tension because you know what? We're to have all the vigor of a soldier. We're to have an understanding that we are not to stop, that this is not something that you just kind of, well, if I get a chance. We are called to this as believers in Jesus Christ. So we're to be vigilantly servant-oriented. Never once leaving the grounding of God's love. We're going to come back to Jude, and I'll do a series, and we'll go through each of these points. 25 verses, one of the smallest books in the Bible. I pray that you'll read it. I pray that you'll allow God's word to penetrate your heart, and that you will hear Jude, you'll hear God say, stand up, defend the faith. Put the spotlight of truth where it belongs, and then live it out in love. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your truth and your love. Father, I thank you that you would inspire Jude to share with us this other side of grace, that we would not be deceived, that while through Acts and so much of your word, we understand that nobody can earn your gift of grace, that you alone paid the price for sin. And that we simply believe and receive it and then turn our lives over to you. But I thank you, Lord, for this other side of grace where Jude and others in the Word would remind us that there is no universal stamp that says don't sweat the details. The details say that you died on the cross. You sacrificially died that all of us would be able to say yes and receive you as Lord and Savior. Anything less is unacceptable. I thank you for that uncompromising truth. I thank you that I don't have to be confused by all these other ways. John 14:6, as that video says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.